Personal branding, we hear about it everywhere. You might have wondered, as a leader, does it even really matter? And if it does, how do you do it well? Well, our guest today can help answer those questions. Rebecca Allen is a career and leadership success coach for corporate women. She has 13 years' experience working with women in finance, IT, consulting, and STEM industries. And her clients get promoted, build strong personal brands, build credibility and visibility with key stakeholders, and lead with authenticity, authority, and heart. We will not only answer your questions about personal branding, but in our great conversation, you'll start to see how your natural talents and strengths help you create your personal brand. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and I am so excited to have my new friend, Rebecca Allen, on as our guest today. And we've just been having a fun conversation before we hit the record button, and we'll continue it. Well, some of it will continue on here and talking about branding and strengths and actually how they do really marry very well together. So I think it's going to be a great conversation. So welcome to the podcast, Rebecca.
Well, thanks so much, Sherry. I'm really, really looking forward to talking about this because, like you say, I think branding and strengths just work so beautifully together, a bit like butter and toast. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too. And you may hear a little bit of Rebecca's accent. So she is down in Australia. We were just talking about how it's like difficult negotiating the time and, you know, how much further ahead. She's in the morning, I'm in the evening as we're recording this. But it's so fun that we can be global with our podcast and meet new friends all around the world today.
Absolutely right. Well, I'm actually English, but living in Australia. So I've been here now for over 12 years and my accent's still not remotely Australian. Well, I don't think it is, but some people do. When I get back to the UK, suddenly people think that I sound Australian, but I don't think I sound Australian quite yet.
It's funny because I grew up military and we never traveled overseas, but just even in the United States, if we were in the North, we had a Southern accent. If we were down South, we had a Northern, you know, we never fit in. It didn't matter where we were.
I'm very familiar.
Yes. So tell the listeners, the Navigating Your Leadership community, a little bit about who is Rebecca?
Sure. Well, thank you, Sherry. And thank you for having me on. I'm essentially a career coach and I work with professional women, corporate women, largely in finance industry, STEM industries. And I really help them understand their authentic selves, which is why I think the strengths sort of fit so beautifully together. And we do that through personal branding strategy. So helping you really understand how you want to come across and then presenting those behaviors in the workplace. So we work with clients to help them get promoted, essentially, to sort of fast track their path towards a leadership position, if that is their, you know, desire, if that's their choice. Not everyone wants to move into a leadership position, but it's still important to kind of present yourself in a way that really gives your best self and, you know, builds that reputation that you intend people to see. So I've been now working in this industry for over 10 years, about 13 years now. And before that, I used to work in advertising. So I work specifically in kind of consumer branding, if you like, and really understanding how to bring brands to life and how to connect brands. And because the thing that's interesting about branding, I think, is that it's a kind of two-sided coin. It's an emotional thing and it's also a rational thing. It's like, why would I want to buy that product? And why does that make me feel good to buy that product and use that product? And it's exactly the same with the individual. And I think that's what really captivated me about my advertising background and how I've kind of brought that into my coaching world, because I see that in individuals too. It's like we're a kind of a double-sided beast too. And we need to kind of understand how, you know, we want to connect rationally and emotionally with people to kind of, you know, engage and build trust and basically lead other people. And so that's where I've come to. And it's been a really incredible journey. Like you say, I've moved around quite a bit. So I was actually brought up in Hong Kong. And then I moved to the UK to do university. And I worked in London for a while as well. And then I went backpacking with my partner. And we decided we had to find some way to come kind of live forever in Sydney. We just loved Sydney so much. So then we moved to Sydney. And the rest is history, as you say. We've also had a stint actually for 4 years in Singapore. So we've had a few different experiences, both living and working. And it's been a really, really exciting journey.
I love that. And I love so many pieces in there. It's like, oh, where do I start? But what? We'll start with the last thing. Just the whole gypsy salt. I so relate to that. Like I have a sign somewhere in my office here that says, blame it on my gypsy soul. I'm jealous of all those places because, again, I really haven't traveled that much out of the country, but definitely that's in the future for us. So and I think that's a big connection that I felt with you right away, that adventurous soul.
Yeah, I've definitely got adventure in me.
Which kind of plays in, but we'll see that come through when we talk about your top five strengths in a minute. And I also love how you did marry, again, that the advertising with the personal branding, because you're right, they're really, it's very similar aspect of it. And I'll be excited to hear as we go through the conversation a little bit more on that concept that it's two-sided, the practical and the emotional side of the branding. And I'm thinking too, you were in branding before it was cool.
Right? Yeah, it's suddenly become like the thing. But and there are lots of different ways to do branding. I think that's the thing. There are lots of different ways to do it. But I think the fundamental thing is to be really brave, to be really courageous, to be a bit of Brené Brown. And just to, you know, really try to tap into where your authenticity is. And I think that can be quite a scary thing for some people, you know, and I think a lot of women particularly find that, you know, more of a challenge because so many of these corporate environments are very, very masculine in how they are. And, you know, the assumption is that we can all sort of match this sort of masculine behavior to get ahead. And the reality is that's not true. And I think once you kind of get the courage to really tap into where you're strong and where you really want to exceed and where you want to sort of present yourself, you get the courage to sort of present yourself in that authentic way. And that might be quite feminine. And feminine can be very strong. And that's what I love about looking at branding from the individual's perspective, because it really is about sort of untapping what you value and where you feel strong, because often feminine energy can be very, very strong. And that's what I think is really interesting, because we look a lot about around authority and being authoritative and what that means. And again, that's one of those things that a lot of women kind of feel uncomfortable about, because there's this assumption that authoritative means aggressive. And it's really not that. I mean, it doesn't need to be that. It can be that, of course, if you wanted it to be, but it doesn't have to be like that. And that's what I think is really beautiful about it. You can kind of tailor it, if you like, to suit your own authenticity.
Mm, that's great. And I feel like that's a great lead in to talk about, because being authentic is knowing who you are and your natural talents and strengths. So I did want to, you know, our new format this year with the guests is sharing what your top five strengths are. You know, there's 34 themes in the Clifton Strengths. And we're just looking at the top five right now. I do always encourage people unlock the full report. It gives you so much more information about yourself. And for you, Rebecca, I'm looking at, you know, Gallup gives you two reports. One's kind of the generic. This is the pat answer to what the strengths are, which is very interesting to read. But the ones we really want to dive into, talk about being authentic and really finding our true selves, is the Strengths Insight Guide. Because this is custom made to you. Nobody else has this report but you. There's 1 in 33 million chance that somebody else on the planet would get their assessment back and have the exact same top five in the exact same order with the exact same descriptions of the Insight report.
Yeah. So and I found that interesting actually doing the assessment, because I've done lots of these sort of assessments, you know. But the thing that I thought was really interesting about it is the questions aren't obvious. The questions it asks you, you know, are not obvious. They have to make you think a little bit about it, because they don't, you kind of have the spectrum, right? Of are you more this or are you more that? And sometimes I thought, well, I'm both. So that was interesting. But some of them I was like, neither of those are relevant to me either. And then some of them I thought, well, that's really interesting because I wouldn't even put those on the same spectrum. Do you know what I mean? They kind of don't seem to be, are you more like this or more like that? They actually are quite, I don't know, it just sort of made you think a lot more deeply, I think. And I enjoyed it because I like the fact that you had to do it quickly. I like the fact that you had to kind of make a decision, not try and outsmart the algorithm or something.
Right. But just be honest and just go for it. How should I answer this question?
Yeah,
right?
What should I think? I'm sure some people do that, right? They can't, you know, especially if your kind of company is sponsoring the process, you might want to kind of think, oh, should I put in what they want me to be? But that's obviously not valuing you at all, and that's not helping you at all. So, you know, it makes much more sense just to be really compulsive and just, okay, that's definitely more me. Or, but I thought the process was interesting too. I really enjoyed it. And I'm very excited to hear what you think about the outcome.
Great, great. I'm glad you enjoyed the process. And, you know, you're spot on with that. And that's why it's timed. Like it's, you have 20 seconds to answer each question. There's 177 questions for those that aren't familiar with CliftonStrengths that they don't want you to pause and think, how should I answer this? What would my boss say? You know, if you're going for promotion, what do you think would be the right answer? It truly needs to be your answer. And the way, you know, it's scientifically formulated. So it's very hard to not be your authentic self when you're answering the questions. And the neutral answers or no answers or, ooh, it timed out on me. That is an answer in itself, because then they realize, oh yeah, you're not strong. You don't view strong on either one of those. And that's okay. That's an answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like that.
So Rebecca, your top five are achiever, learner, responsibility, maximizer, and positivity. And I'm going to read the standard answer to it, like what is the theme description for everybody? But then we're going to dive a little bit into what it means for you specifically. And then we can see how it all ties into what you do today and what makes you so good at what you do, but it also makes you happy doing what you do. And if you could feel like I can feel, even though you're across the globe, you know, Rebecca's energy is so contagious. It truly is. And as we go through, you'll see why. And I will say, I totally have talent envy with this first talent of yours, which is achiever.
And thank you.
Which we're not supposed to have, like we're supposed to be happy with our own talents and strengths and lean into them. But so the achiever.
That's futuristic, actually, on your website. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that was also interesting. I thought that's an interesting one. I wonder what that's about. Like, I was obviously thinking ahead, but.
It's the dreamer. It's the Walt Disney World theme. You know, that's the way I look at futuristic. It's like we're always dreaming and thinking about the future and all of that. I do love my futuristic. So especially talented in the achiever theme have a great deal of stamina and work hard. They take great satisfaction from being busy and productive. So by nature, you exhibit, and you do, the physical and mental endurance needed to continuously toil long after others have stopped working. You are hardwired to pursue goals until they are reached. When obstacles arise, you become even more determined to succeed. It is very likely that you labor for hours, days, or weeks when the money you earn allows you to provide for your family's needs. Your work ethic permits you to give loved ones many of the things you did or did not have as a child. Driven by your talents, you channel your efforts into the task at hand. You persevere until you have gained the knowledge and skills needed to attain a goal. I'm going to skip down to another line here. As your tireless efforts are typically directed toward the goals you plan to reach in the coming months, years, or decades. How does that resonate with you?
It's interesting because I think it's explains me very well. I think I'm very driven, absolutely. When I've got something in my mind that I want to achieve, basically nothing will stop me from achieving that thing. I'm very driven to be purpose orientated, which means that I set myself some sort of bigger objective other than the goal, the actual practical task, which is like, why am I doing this thing? Why does this matter? And it often ties back to my children, of course, because that's a huge inspiration when you're a parent. But also to the impact that you're making on other people. I think a lot of women have that meaningful outcome sort of objective in their mission. And like, what is my meaningful outcome? So I think we're often driven by that. It's not just about the money and making a load of money. It's also about doing something and making a difference. So I think those things resonate really strongly with me. The thing that I think raises a bit of a red flag for me as well, because I think somebody with that level of drive, and I have definitely fallen into this camp, that you can just burn out, you know, because you're so driven. You know, it's seen as a really positive thing to be so driven, but actually it can be, you know, high achieving, can be to your detriment if you're not careful. And I've definitely fallen into that bucket a couple of times in my kind of working career where I've just burnt out. And, you know, that's been a good learning for me, obviously, to work out how to manage that more effectively. But I think just working hard is not, so, you know, you can kind of get a great outcome and be happy with that. I've learned that, rather than just driving yourself into the ground and hoping that that's going to be different, because it's not. It actually really works against you. So I thought that was, I think that's interesting. But yeah, I see both sides of that. There's a real positive, but there's a real something to be kind of mindful of there.
Right. And exactly to that point is every talent theme has a blind spot. Right. And it's a spot that, whether it be, if it shows up in that not necessarily even a negative way, but that raw way, that way that's not harnessed, or even sometimes it's the way it's perceived.
Yes.
You may have been told, like, oh, just slow down. You don't have to work that hard.
Yes.
But you're enjoying the process. You know, sometimes it gives you joy, because probably yes. If you're not striving towards something, you probably get antsy. You probably get unsettled. It doesn't feel good not to be striving for something. Mm-hmm. But you're absolutely right. A high achiever needs to be careful of their own energy, that they don't burn out, that they don't, and that they're working towards achieving the right things.
Yes. 100% agree with that. Yeah,
and you probably see that a lot in the clients that you coach, because if a lot of them are striving for that leadership, helping them, if they are high achievers themselves, really
absolutely
harness that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we're kind of highly intelligent and we're driven and we're, you know, we have purpose. You know, when you have purpose, that's a really wonderful thing, because it really drives you. It's like having somebody whipping you behind you, you know, from that perspective. But you're kind of driven, and the outcomes excite you, which is exactly what that achiever strength is. The outcomes really excite you. You feel like, you know, validation from the outcomes. You can see something tangible, or you can hear somebody saying something to you that's, you know, you've done a great job or whatever it is, you know. And being a coach is really interesting with the achiever strength, because obviously the whole gist of coaching is to help people achieve and to help people, you know, move forwards and to become their best selves and to get great outcomes like pay rises and promotions, you know. So for me, I also get huge validation seeing my clients achieve, because it meets my own value and my own, you know, strength of achievement.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing in itself.
Right, right. And, you know, with that, and one of the reasons I had the talent envy on that is that, I mean, a lot of us, if achievers not high, it's more of you have the energy to work harder than a lot of other people.
I think it's the drive. I think it's, for me, that's the energy comes from the purpose. Like if you deeply in what you're doing, like, you know, I read a little bit also about the Gallup strengths, and it was sort of saying that there's lots of research there, right? Around when you're using your strengths, there's high levels of engagement, high levels of productivity. And for me, it's that concept. It's like, if you're living on purpose and working on purpose and you're doing something you genuinely love and you feel like it's meeting your values and you're making the difference you want to make, then it's much easier to be energized. You know, when we're kind of not using our strengths, or when we're not, you know, appealing to our best selves, then of course we feel, you know, demoralized and we feel weaker.
Exactly.
But those things are all connected. It's about knowing yourself deeply and putting yourself into a position every day where you can play to your strengths, where you can meet your values, where you can go for what you want to achieve.
Right, right. And where you're, you know, in that environment that, I don't like the word allows, but it allows you to work within your strengths, because it is when you're working in your strengths and doing what you love, it does give you that more energy. Maybe not as much as you might have, but it gives us all more energy. Whereas when we're not living in our strengths, those are the times, and you probably see this with a lot of your clients that are coming to you, because they're not working in their strengths. They're probably exhausted. They're burnt out. They're tired. They're frustrated. And, you know, a lot of that is they're not working in their strengths. So let's rebrand you so you can find a job that matches your own personal talents and strengths, yeah. right? So learners, you're number two. I love learner. Learner's my in my top 10 as well. So I totally can relate to this one that people who are exceptionally talented in the learner theme have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve. In particular, the process of learning rather than the outcome excites them. And this ties beautifully well with the achiever too, that some of the unique descriptions for you are driven by your talents. You absorb all sorts of information from books, publications, and other written materials. You display a ferocious, that is never fully satisfied, appetite for knowledge. You devour yeah. written word to savor useful facts. For you, a great day is one during which you have added new insights to your mind's storehouse of ideas. It is very likely that you may be attracted to assignments that demand original or inventive thinking.
That's so spot on.
Skip down a little bit here. At times, your concentration leads you to major or minor discoveries. Maybe you need ample quiet time to examine new information, theories, concepts, or philosophies. Perhaps your mind cannot rest regardless of where you go or what you do. To some extent, you ponder what you have observed. Occasionally, you pose never before asked questions.
Yeah. And that's all me.
Why you went and researched more on Gallup, right?
Yeah, of course. But it's important to know who you're speaking with. But right. You know, I think what's interesting about that makes me laugh enormously, right? Because it's true. And like literally anything and everything I can read, I read. I'm obviously always learning and doing deep dives into coaching and NLP and personal branding strategy and communication skills, all these sorts of things that are so important in my world and what I'm teaching and coaching. But also what I think is interesting about that, and the creative original thinking is also definitely in there, because obviously you're always building content, trying to find new ways to, you know, train people and find interesting ways to, you know, bring that content to life. But the thing that I also think is funny about that is I've got a bit of a reputation, particularly in my family, of I can't sit still if I don't know the answer to something. So say, for example, something comes on TV, you know, it might be just an actor that's on TV and somebody will say, well, what was that person in? I can't rest unless I've found out what that person's, you know, history was and what, you know, what film was it that we knew them from before? Or a word will come up with the kids and they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, I actually don't know. Let's look it up. We have to know, you know? So yeah, that's absolutely me. I'm kind of constantly, yeah, I'm just really massively curious about everything, about the universe and how things work. So yeah, I'm always, yeah, researching, reading, exploring, asking people for their opinions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Google is our best friend as a learner, right? Siri, what does that mean?
Absolutely. What earth does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way.
Really important for me anyway, something I value deeply, right? It's to be curious about things. It's like not just to accept things as the way they are, and to be curious and to ask questions and to be very mindful about things that you kind of often would take for granted. I think actually having children has made me be like that more, because children are so deeply curious, aren't they, naturally? And, you know, you have conversations about all sorts of random things. Like I remember when my little girl was tiny, she sort of said to me, why do leaves have veins? And I was like, such a good question. Like, why do leaves have veins? So, you know, just stupid little things that you just take for granted all the time as adults because you're so busy.
Right.
And I think it's really important to kind of look at minutia and just, you know, explore and think about what those things could be and why they're there.
I love that. I love that. And I like the part in here for you that occasionally you pose never before asked questions. And I think, you know, as coaches, that's what we do. We ask people, not only why are there veins and leaves, but we ask people sometimes questions that nobody's ever asked them. And that's how we're able, right, to pull things out of them to help them move forward in whatever coaching we're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, the ability to kind of ask questions that nobody has ever asked before is obviously the cornerstone of effective coaching. And it's very interesting because, I don't know if it's a slightly off tangent, but I'll share this story anyway. When I was going into university, I said to my parents that I wanted to learn something completely different that I'd never learned before. I didn't want to just do the same thing, you know, that you've done at kind of A-level, stats, what do you call it in the States? I can't remember what the A-level equivalent is. But so I said to them, I want to do something different. I just don't want to repeat. I want to have a new learning, a new experience. which is me all over as well. And I decided I was going to do philosophy. So I did an English literature and philosophy joint honours degree at Manchester University. And at first I was totally befuddled by philosophy. It was such a different way of thinking. And then I got, you know, I got my head around it and I got much better at it. And my reasoning became better and my ability to kind of look at different things from different angles. And I realized that's really what philosophy is in terms of the academic side of it. It's learning how to argue. It's learning how to question. It's learning how to, you know, challenge. And as a coach, looking back on that now, you know, been coaching over a decade, I so understand now why I wanted to do philosophy. And I so understand why I enjoyed it so much. And that kind of training, if you like, of analytical thinking and questioning things and challenging things, is that true? Is that the reality of things? You know, because a lot of the things we talked about were metaphysical, like, you know, does this horse even exist? Just that we can see it, does that mean it exists? But, you know, I kind of can see now why I was so drawn to that discipline. And it's really enormously helped me in my coaching to kind of do that challenging and to ask those questions, pose those questions that you may never have been asked before. So yeah, I can definitely see that that's me.
I love that. So then we move down to responsibility. And this one, people who are exceptionally talented in responsibility theme take psychological ownership of what they say they will do. They are committed to stable values such as honesty and loyalty. A couple of highlights I picked out here is it's very likely that you place a premium on doing everything correctly. Whatever you are involved in or associated with must typify, that is, symbolize accuracy and precision. Your high standards demand exactness. Because of your strengths, you have a strong sense of commitment. It motivates you to make sure that things are carried through to completion, even when difficulties arise. How do you see that showing up in your life or in your business?
It's completely accurate, once again. Yeah, I mean, hugely responsible, have to see things through. Although the thing that I absolutely have learned over time, and again, this comes with the high achiever concept of burning out and stuff like that, is if you become like very, very perfectionist orientated, that really does not serve you. And that's definitely a behavior I've had to work on as I've kind of got older. It definitely hindered my progress earlier on in my career, wanting it to be perfect rather than good enough. And that's a big distinction that I've made now in my business. And I see a lot of my clients struggling with perfectionism. It's a real burden and it doesn't need to be, right? And we have to just redefine what that looks like for us and how, you know, what good enough looks like. Because how I look at it is, you know, while you're trying to be perfect, somebody who's doing something good enough is getting promoted a lot faster than you. And that's the truth for so many women that I come across. So yeah, that's definitely something I'm very mindful of. I've become very consciously aware of that concept of perfectionism. And it's good to be responsible. I think I've always been seen as the responsible friend, you know, like from being very young, I was always sort of seen as that. If Rebecca's going, you can go kind of thing. I've heard that from a few of my parents when I was a kid. And I kind of thought that was kind of cool when I was younger. But then I look back on that and I think, God, that's a bit boring. You know, why was I always the principal one? But, you know, it's the truth. It's just the way that I'm built.
Mm-hmm. Right. Two things I want to point out with responsibility. And for somebody listening to this, and maybe they do their Clifton Strengths and responsibility is really low, that does not mean that you're not honest and loyal. So I just want to clarify that just because something, same thing with like, if you don't have a high achiever, doesn't mean you don't achieve things. Your path just looks different than somebody with high achiever, high responsibility. And that's what this is all about, is just taking, figuring out what your path to success looks like. And just like with Rebecca, it's going to help you brand yourself so you stand out and kind of create your own path there. It's the same thing with strengths. It's finding your path because we don't want to all be cookie cutters.
No, absolutely not. Wouldn't the world be a boring place if we were all the same?
Right. The other thing too, where I could see this with having high achiever and high responsibility. So my husband has high responsibility and we talk about this a lot. And I said, the biggest thing in people I coach with high responsibility, the one thing with people high responsibility is learning to say no. Because if you say yes to something, your responsibility takes over and you're committed to that no matter what.
Right.
And it's really learning to just, you know, really pause before accepting a yes, before saying yes to something. Because if you don't have the time, the energy, the true desire to do it, then just say no right from the get-go and let somebody else, you know, do it.
Good advice. It's not something I've ever struggled with, actually, saying no. I've always been very comfortable. I don't worry about upsetting people. If it upsets people, then so be it. But obviously I take responsibility for it. I don't want to upset them. But I'm very comfortable with staying true to myself and my boundaries. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, within the branding, is to know where your boundaries sit. Because once you let people kind of compromise your values or compromise how you think things should be done, then, you know, everything breaks down. So I'm really comfortable with not being popular. If I have a decision that's fine with me. It doesn't bother me, because I just know that I need to protect, you know, myself.
Right. Absolutely. And I wonder, like, Maximizer is your next one. And I wonder if that helps you with that, because a lot of people with high responsibility have a hard time saying no. And that's what causes them to burn out, because they're saying yes to everything. And then they feel responsible to follow through on that yes. And and you can't say yes to everything. So
you shouldn't.
Right.
What is Maximizer? I saw that and I thought, well, that's interesting. What's that about?
Mm-hmm. So Maximizer, people exceptionally talented and Maximizer theme focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb. Another one of mine, I have Maximizer as my top five as well. And again, it's what we do, Rebecca. It's
what we do. Okay, Maximizer. So it's about maximizing the talent, the potential of others or yourself.
It's about everything. So, so kind of the difference too. So there are people that are high developer and people that are high maximum. Every once in a while, you see somebody with both, which is kind of an interesting dynamics. But developers love to start from scratch and build something from scratch. Whereas maximizers, we love to start with something that's already really good and help them be better, or a thing. It could be a thing for some people. It doesn't necessarily have to be people. For you and I, it's people mostly.
Yeah.
That's why it totally makes sense of who your clients are. And I don't have it right in front of me, but I know in one of your bio, you actually said you have a line in there about who you love to work with or who your best clients are. Do you know what
I mean? It's driven women, right? It's intelligent, driven women who just expect more, like who just don't want to settle. I think that's the fundamental thing that, you know, I think a lot of women have lots and lots of responsibilities. And, you know, the thing that I hear a lot is, can I be ambitious whilst also being a mum, for example? Can I be ambitious when I'm 40? Can I be ambitious? Is it possible to do those two things together? And, you know, again, like these things, they're all subjective, right? So your definition of ambition will be very different to mine and the next person, the next person. And it's very important to define it for you and what success looks like for you. Because if you kind of benchmark yourself on somebody else's version of success, you're going to be very unhappy. You know, any comparison that we do like that just doesn't serve us. So yeah, I mean, it's just somebody who wants to drive and wants to push themselves and just kind of see what she's really capable of. Because we're always kind of underperforming to what we're really capable of, because we stop ourselves from, you know, just trying that little bit harder in case it fails, right? In case we don't get there or whatever it is. But yeah, it's about driving ambition, whatever the ambition is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did highlight some things with the Maximizer, your Maximizer, that, and it's so fun for me because you see the thread coming through of the other talents in here, because it goes back to questions that chances are good that you may accept that no two people are exactly the same. This partially explains why you ask so many questions. Sometimes you are trying to figure out what makes an individual different from everyone else. Perhaps this knowledge allows you to inspire, coax, demand, challenge, or pressure various people to do their finest work.
Right.
You might argue that excellent outcomes are produced by people who have opportunities each day to do what they do well. And then the last thing I'll say on the Maximizer here, and I want to throw it back to you, is it's very likely that you might see yourself as a person who invents unusual or innovative ways of doing things. Perhaps you grow weary of certain activities when you are forced to perform them in the same way again and again. Your frustration may increase when you know there is a better way to do something, but no one is willing to consider the changes you suggest. Right. Speak to all that, Rebecca.
Interesting. I mean, I think for me, what that says as well is a variety value. So I know that I have a variety value, right? So it's, I don't want everything to be the same all the time. Some people are more sameness, some people are more variety. I'm definitely variety, which I think why the adventure is always in there as well, because I just want to experience the whole universe as much as I can, right? And I think building on from a work perspective, I suppose, you know, you constantly want to improve what you're doing. You constantly want to improve the content. You know, you leave what works. If this is working well, you leave it alone, right? Obviously, but you're constantly kind of trying to make things better to make them work more effectively. So yeah, I think it's definitely a solid description of me. Yeah.
And I can see where your maximizer, like really, to me, this is the one when I was reading through this, is like, oh, this is why she's so good at branding and helping women brand, because you want to take, again, that person that's already had success. Yeah. But they're looking for more. They're looking for that different job. They're looking for that. And you're not afraid to ask the questions. And you understand that they're each unique people. And that's what branding is, right? It's how to stand out in that crowd. And you're not going to let them settle.
No, but I think the thing that I think is really interesting is we don't really know what we're capable of. Like none of us really knows what we're capable of unless we push. And the only thing, like people always say, the only thing that's really stopping you is you. And it's very contrived. We hear it all the time, but it's so true. Because, you know, unless you've got somebody who can help you see you more effectively, like in your world, Sherry, it's exactly the same, right? You're showing people where they're strong. And a lot of people don't acknowledge their strengths, I find. You know, they go, well, if I can do it, everybody else can do it too. That's the first thing that I hear. It's nothing special, you know, just totally undermining the strength. Why not own that strength? Why not say, this is where I'm really strong. This is where I can show my best self and I can really give the best outcome for both me, but also for my organization or the people around me. Why not do that? Why not say I deserve more? Because I think a lot of women, again, have that blocker around deserving and worth. And if you're saying to yourself, I don't deserve this, if you're saying to yourself, I'm not worthy of this, if you're saying I'm not ready yet for this thing, which I hear all day, every day in my business, right? These are the things we must challenge, because a lot of, you know, the people who I work with don't have the tools yet to challenge those sorts of patterns that they're running. And they're the things that need to be challenged by the coach. They're the things that we're saying to ourselves that are absolutely preventing us from maximizing our potential. And so, yeah, I see my role definitely as that person, like you say, to maximize, to sort of get you over that final hurdle, if you like, to really just release yourself. And to become this authentic you, this person who's just desperate to come out and be you and to feel the success that you want to be. Because again, I find a lot of women are struggling with that concept of just not feeling like the success I really wanted to be. You know, at this age, I thought I'd be doing this. At this age, I thought I'd be doing that by now. And again, it's about really knowing what success looks like for you so that you know when you've achieved it, you have been successful. So we need to be more mindful about how we go about our day, about our work, about our lives, so that we know that we're doing a good job and we can self-validate in that respect.
I love all that. And if somebody hears a weird noise now, my cat just climbed on my lap and is now purring, of course. So the last theme is the positivity. And I could just hear your positivity screaming loud and clear through that last bit of what you just shared too, is that, you know, the description is people who are especially talented in the positivity theme have an enthusiasm that is contagious. They are upbeat and can get others excited about what they are going to do. And then your unique positivity is instinctively, you might appear enthusiastic about your life. Some people find your energy contagious. Periodically, you ask, what is there not to like about life? And then I'll jump down to other notes here. It's just by nature, you might share your excitement with certain individuals. Maybe these chosen people are attracted to your enthusiasm for life. Perhaps some of them go out of their way to spend time with you. Because of your strengths, you sometimes feel good about life when you spend a little bit of time contemplating what can be done in the coming months, years, or decades. Maybe you generate ideas, plan projects, or set long-term goals. It is very likely that you occasionally attract people with your optimistic outlook on life.
I would say that's definitely me as well. It works, this strengths finder stuff. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely me 100% to a T. I love the idea that, you know, people are drawn to my energy. I'm not sure if that's necessarily true, but I think positivity comes again with coaching. If your coach doesn't believe in you, then, you know, you may as well not work with that coach. But yeah, I just believe in the potential of people. I also believe that you have all the skills you already need and all the tools you already need to be that success. You know, you just need somebody to kind of prompt you a little bit here and there to help you overcome yourself and help you overcome the barriers that you're imposing on yourself of what's possible and what's not possible. And I think true, you know, we're here once on this earth, and my goodness, it's like the most beautiful, you know, experience of a lifetime to be here. So yeah, absolutely enjoy every second and take out every opportunity and experience that you can, because why wouldn't you?
Right.
Optimistic, positive, whatever that is.
Right. I love that. So when it comes to brand, I know we've been able to weave a lot of the branding throughout the conversation, but what last minute thoughts would you like to really hone in for people, and why do they need branding? Why does it matter?
I think, I mean, you know, there's so many different kinds of coaching out there, right? You know, and there's lots of different leadership kind of coaching. There's lots of different career kind of coaching, and they're all valid. They're all important. I suppose the reason why I focus on personal branding so deeply is because I have seen so many times over the years that there is this disconnect between how people, and I work specifically with women, so how women intend to be seen and how they're actually seen. And that, even though that sounds like a very simple concept, it's actually profoundly important that those two things are in alignment with one another. Because if we're assuming that we're well, you know, we're well perceived, if we're assuming that working hard is enough to get promoted, for example, and we all know that's not really the reality. We all know that working hard isn't enough. We all know we have to step up, and we have to do relationship building, and we have to be authoritative in meetings, and we have to share our ideas. These are sort of the things a lot of women struggle with. But if you're assuming and you're relying on this idea that working really hard is going to get you the outcome of getting promoted, for example, you're going to be disappointed every time, because the perception that people have, working hard is not necessarily what's going to make you the next leader. Working hard is not necessarily, you know, going to get you that promotion. And it's a trap that we fall into. It's a kind of a story that we tell ourselves, that you're an asset because you're working hard. But that gap between intention and perception is exactly what branding is all about. And I think, you know, it's about sort of being consistent and persistent about generating the behaviors, because behaviors are what people judge you on. Behaviors that are going to help you create the perception you want those key decision makers to have of you.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. And I know you mentioned this earlier on, but if you can kind of come back to it again, who is that woman out there
who I work with?
And who might want to work with you, Rebecca, on the branding? Where is she in life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, I mean, I essentially work with women who are in their 30s and 40s mostly. I do work with people earlier in their careers sometimes, but women who are in their 30s and their 40s, and they are frustrated with the progression that they're making. And they're frustrated by feeling overlooked, feeling undervalued, feeling unrecognized. And that might have been going on for years. That's often the case. And they just sort of are exhausted by it all. And they're questioning, you know, whether they should still continue to work, whether they should stay with this organization or not, or whatever it is. But they're basically feeling kind of overlooked and often underpaid. And, you know, those women deserve better, in my opinion. So, I mean, they're the kinds of women who I want to work with, who are, you know, looking for the next move. They are kind of ambitious in that sense, that they do want to, you know, perform well at work and feel kind of meaning and value and recognition from their work. But they're just not there at the moment. So they're exactly the perfect kind of clients for me.
Great. And one last question for you on the branding too, is like, have you found since COVID and people have had this pause in life, have you found a lot more women seeking out changes in their careers?
To be honest, what I've seen with COVID is I've seen massive burnout. I've seen just total exhaustion from women specifically. There's so much research out there at the moment around the kind of double whammy that so many women have had as a result of the COVID epidemic, pandemic, because of kind of increased working responsibilities, increased parenting responsibilities for a lot of women, and, you know, careers are once again taking the hit. So what I'm predicting is that, you know, within 2022 and probably 23 as well, we're going to get more energy again. I'm thinking from, you know, from women who are now keen to kind of look at their careers. But I've definitely seen it take a massive toll on women generally in the last 12, 24 months, definitely.
Yeah, women have definitely had a double whammy, as you shared.
Yeah. So,
anything else you want to share or any other last minute thoughts on branding or your strengths before we close out here?
I absolutely found that really fascinating. And I think those five strengths definitely sum me up. I think it's really, you know, it's obviously kind of quite empowering to hear these sort of very positive things coming out. And obviously, anybody who runs through the Gallup Strengths Finder will have a positive experience because it's about strengths, right? So it doesn't matter what your strengths are, what comes out. It's always going to be a positive, useful, valuable kind of exploration. I think the thing that's interesting is obviously you've got to put yourself into a position where you're utilizing these strengths more regularly. And that's obviously something that will make you happy, will make you fulfilled, will engage you more deeply. So I think that's something I'm going to ponder definitely after today. The one thing I would just love to offer, if I could, is a free download, if that's okay for your
listeners. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you're interested in finding out any more about personal branding or, you know, your career management, confidence building, communication skills, all those sorts of things, that's what we do. We have a free download for your listeners. It's called the 7 Habits of Female Execs Who Get Promoted. So I'm basically sharing in this download some behaviors that you can take today if you wanted to start building that reputation and your brand so that people do have that perception of you that you want them to. And you can get that just by visiting rebeccasfreegift.com. So if you go there, you'll just get the download straight away. It'll go into your inbox.
Great. And I will put the link in the show notes as well.
Oh,
and as I'm listening to this, it's like, I feel like even if you're not in a position that you're looking for a different job or you're looking for that promotion, it's like, I think we all need that. Like we all need to know that's like, how do you want the world to perceive you? You want them to perceive it your best. So I would highly encourage everybody to take advantage of that offer from Rebecca. So thank you on that. And if you are in a position where you feel like, okay, I know I need to change. I know I want that promotion and you're looking for somebody to help you with that. I mean, looking at Rebecca's top 5 themes, she would be the person I would be running to, you know, with Achiever. You know, she's going to work hard and relentless to help you. Learner, she studied it all. She knows this. She knows what she's talking about. Responsibility, if she says she's going to do something, she is there for it. Maximizer, she wants to maximize you and help you be that best. And the positivity, you can sense her energy. So who wouldn't want to be, again, seeking out the energy you bring to the table, Rebecca? So
it's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being on the show today. This was a lot of fun. And I hope it was valuable to you and our listeners out there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, Cheryl. I really enjoyed that.
My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.